for those of you that probably didn't know, my lovely wife got a year older. She still looks good. She's my supermodel, and so I'm thankful to the Lord. He thought me so fit to have a supermodel, my very own. Amen. And so she blushes when I say stuff like that. But anyway, she got a year older, and with her getting a year older, I get a year older as well. So this Thursday, I'll be turning 45. Let me tell you, it's a work in praying through, fighting that depression, fighting that thought, and just, you know what? But we're talking about something this month, and it's our words. You put up slide one, please. So this month's series is Death and Life is in the Power of the Tongue. Thank you. Proverbs 18:21. And so, you know, what comes out of our mouths can either bring death or life. That's what Scripture says. So if you don't agree with me, look up Scripture and that'll tell you death and life is in the power of the tongue. So what comes out of our mouths can bring either death or life. Now, I want to share this with you, that it brings death or life spiritually before you see it happen physically. Think about that. What you say has the effect spiritually before it does physically. The spirit realm, we don't see it, but it is mightier than what we see and than what our senses tells us. It is more important, it's more valuable. So when we consider what we say, the words we use, even to describe it, just even the phrases that we grew up with, you know, well, bless her heart. Well, what are you really saying when you say bless her heart? You know, I mean, you know, just certain things, the words that come out of our mouth, we need to be attentive to what are we actually saying, and the effects, the ramifications, what happens because of our words. You see, because we have a choice to speak what our flesh says or what God says. What our flesh says or what God says. Not sure how many of you wake up because there's pain in your back, your leg, your neck, your head, whatever. What comes out of your mouth, is that equal to what God says? Think about that. What cracks when you get out of bed? We speak what our flesh says or what God says. One results in death, selfishness, greed, lies. The other results in blessings, promises, provisions that God has stored up and prepared for those who believe him and follow him. How many of you want the latter part of that? I want to walk. I want to speak in the blessings of God. I want to walk in the promises of God. I want to experience the provisions that God has stored up and prepared for those who believe him and follow him. Well, you know what? It's affected by what we say, what comes out of our mouth. At some point, we have to come to this conclusion that God's word, the Holy Scriptures, are true and are vital to know, to stand on, and to live by. There's a lot of people that know the ABCs of salvation because you can remember as a kid in Sunday school and kids' church learning the ABCs of salvation. But can I tell you, just knowing that is not enough. Just knowing about God is not enough. Are you living by what God's word says? Are those words coming out of your mouth? Are you standing on God's word? I have a short video, and I just want to say this again before we play this video. At some point, you have to come to the conclusion, God's word are holy words. They are the holy scriptures, and they are true, and they are vital, not just so that I can know them, but so that I can stand on them. When difficult things go on, that I know what to stand on, that when trials come, that I know what to stand on. And that because I know what to stand on, I choose to believe them and follow them. From February 28th to March 8th, Shannon and I, because of what we experienced, because of what we saw, because of what our emotions were doing, especially for her because she just had a child and all of those emotions, you know, you moms know what I'm talking about. All the emotions that come about of just having this, you know, 8-pound, 13-ounce baby, you know, come out of you. I mean, you know the emotions. Because of what we were feeling and seeing, we could have allowed certain words to come out of our mouth and they would have dictated how we would have spent from February 28th when they grabbed our little Eden Joy and placed her in an incubator and we had to say, you know, see you later for a little bit. It took almost everything for me not to just, you know, the gates opened up or whatever. I think it was because one of the EMTs that was there. I saw he had a tattoo, and he was a Marine. He's a Marine, and he had been in for about 6 years, and so that kind of helped. Well, I can't, you know, because Marines, you know, we just don't cry, and so that kind of helped. But I just kind of tried to hold it in, and I looked at Shannon, and I mean, you know, the tears just started to flow, and it was difficult. We could have allowed from February 28th to March 8th. And it probably would have continued to go if what came out of our mouth. And I'm not saying this to say we are super spiritual, because we need Jesus just as much as you need Jesus. We need to know what God's word says just as much as you need to know what God's word says. We need to stand on God's word just as much as you need to stand on God's word. And we need to apply it. So I am not saying, like, I'm not coming across I'm super holy or holier than thou. No, it is all because of God and what he allowed us and the scriptures that we had already known and believed and stood on. That is what helped us to keep our mouth shut and to see and to say, God, you're doing something here that we don't understand, but God, we're trusting in you. And him allowing us to see. Now, I believe it was supernatural, but allowing us to see things that he was doing, reasons why we were there, reasons why I had to pray for baby Washington, that from the time that we were there, every single day, no one came to see that I didn't see. No one came to see baby Washington. Did baby Washington have a mama and daddy, grandparents? I don't know, because I didn't see anybody. But you know what? I was there, and I was there for my Eden was in station number 9 and station number 10. Baby Washington, little boy, baby Washington was there. Nobody was there to just hold him and cuddle him or whatever. So I already knew what I had to do. That while I'm there for my daughter, I'm there to pray for baby Washington as well. It's not about me. But notice and understand what comes out of our mouth is important. But what God's word says, the Holy Scriptures, we have to choose. Do we really believe that? We just sang a bunch of songs. Some of us sang a bunch of songs. Some of us lifted up our hands and our voices out loud. If we were at a ball game, some of you probably, those of you that are Georgia fans, you probably would have shouted out loud. If you were on the 50-yard line front row, you would not be quiet. If you were at a concert, passion concert, or the Gaithers or whatever, you would not sit there quietly. And yet somehow we have to come to the conclusion, are these Holy Scriptures vital enough for me not just to know them, but to believe them, to stand on them no matter what I'm going through, and to live by them? If I was to ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have more than 5 Bibles at home or in your car or whatever? Some people might raise their hands. Yeah, I got 5. How many of them are, you know, have dust on them? They're, you know, just old Bibles that you haven't been reading in a while. And, you know, it's just an amazing thing that when we hear stories and reports of believers in Christ in places like China and places where, in Tibet, where it has to be hidden, they treasure one page, where we got 4 or 5 Bibles in our trunk or in our closet. And so these Holy Scriptures, they matter. Are you encouraged? Man, I'm encouraged to just know and to know that I believe in the Scriptures too. Hey, yeah, you know what? I believe in the Scriptures too. And now I see that the Scriptures are more important, more than I thought. Is he encouraged? Are you encouraged to stand more firm on the Scriptures? Are you challenged to commit to live by them more diligently? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You see, all scripture, not some, not part, not a little. It doesn't even say not the ones you like. All scripture. Everyone say all. That's every single one of them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, not man, not drunk men, that you, like you might have heard before. Please stand. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It profits you. It benefits you. You get something in return for doctrine. What do you believe? For reproof. Anybody ever need correction? All hands should be raised. Yes, because none of us are perfect. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, if you can be seated. If you're writing notes, I just want to encourage you right after verse 17, for every good work. It's not your work. It's God's work. Let me just encourage you, Ephesians 2.10. Write that in there. It's just a good reference, Ephesians 2.10. It's God's work. The God's work, the work that he's planned and are already orchestrated for you to walk in, every good work. And so because of God's word that has been given to us, we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to do something with what he's given to us. Again, as I mentioned, there are believers in places like Asia, where they can't own a Bible. If they are found by authorities to own a Bible, they could be arrested. The Bible can be confiscated. And so imagine you not owning a Bible. Imagine you it being illegal to have a Bible. What responsibility do you have? You don't have one. You don't own one. You can't find one. You don't have enough money to go buy one. And so we have a Bible. And we've been given this opportunity, it's a responsibility that God's word has been given to us to align our lives, our hearts, and our mouths with God's truth. Think about that. Do you align your words with God's word? Do you align your lives with God's word? Do you align your hearts with God's word? If I just had slide two, please. Our words have power. This is my first point. Our words have power. Power to heal, power to comfort, power to cut, power to harm. Go to any sporting event and you'll find people that encourage one another. Just a couple weeks ago, Brian was telling me that some police officers had to go to the soccer complex. And I'm thinking, what? I mean, these are kids. There isn't anybody from a university scouting these kids to play soccer. But somehow, somebody was using words that weren't called for and that were unnecessary. Maybe there was some belittling going on between the parent and the referee. You'll find people encouraging. Hey, bad, swing. Oh, you can get it. Good cut. Good try. I mean, there's words that are being used. You know what? You give it some time. You go to a playground. You will find some kids using words that are not nice, using their hands in a not nice way. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. A week ago, the week before, I spent most of the week taking Jude to the park. And one, we had to go from one playground area to another because there was just one kid. He was just a little too abrasive with Jude. And Jude kind of looked like he got scared. And because he would just yell, rah! He was just playing. But I mean, he was just making noise with his mouth. And kind of Jude was going back and be nice, he would say. And so it was kind of funny. But foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And every single one of you. There's a little child that likes to come out and say foolish things about people. And so our mouths, we need to surrender. We need to understand that there's power. We need to surrender our mouths to God. And so in an office environment, you can create dangerous and crucial conversations that destroy unity within that office, that will destroy the harmony with the people that you work with. And the results can be you being reprimanded or you being kicked off the job, sent home for the day, or maybe just expelled from the job to not come back. The worst result, though, again, like I said, the worst result is what happens spiritually, not physically. because it's more important and powerful what happens in the spirit realm than the physical realm. The worst result is that you leave a bad or negative testimony of your faith. What? I thought you were a Christian. Why are you coming at me like with all those words? And they're hurtful. I thought you were a Christian. That's the worst thing that can happen. Your testimony is tainted. Now everyone knows you instead of being someone that prays and goes to church. Now people know you because you're dropping F-bombs and S-bombs everywhere. It's important that we understand that our words have power. Our words even have the opportunity to destroy ourselves. Not hurt other people, but even hurt ourselves. The lies that the enemy throws at us can cause us to self-destruct because we believe and therefore we speak them. The words of others, if we allow them, can become louder and more important than what God's word says. So then we begin to say, yeah, you know what? I will never amount to anything because someone said you'll never amount to anything. I'll never be successful because someone else. And then you begin to speak those things and you begin to destroy yourself. Why? Because our words have power. Our words have the ability to tear people down, tear ourselves down, or build other people up or build ourselves up. But notice, we can't build other people or ourselves up with our own words. We got to use God's word. God's truth, the Holy Scriptures. Yet the problem is that we fail and we allow our flesh and we allow the enemy's lies to choose the wrong words instead of God's words. This is why we are susceptible to depression and low self-esteem. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand how many of you have low self-esteem, but maybe it's probably because you're not speaking more of what God's word says. But maybe you might say, well, Pastor, I quote God's word every day. Well, then are you standing on that and standing firm on that daily and then living by what God's word says? Listen, I know that I can quote several scriptures and yet still feel like, what's the deal? I know that God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But you know what? The more I talk about how our checkbook's in the negative, or how I got to fix this and I got to fix that and I got a problem, and then, you know, Lydia's going to college. I mean, I speak all these negative things, even though I have this verse that God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. But what am I doing the rest of the time? I'm speaking things. And if I'm speaking things, I'm holding those things in my mind or in my heart. So I can know God's word. But let me tell you, just knowing God's word is not enough. We got to choose to stand on it. Why? Because it's the holy word of God. We got to choose to apply. Why? Because it is the truth that will lead us in the direction that God wants us to go. So this is by no means any, I'm not putting down scripture memorization. Matter of fact, it is good that you memorize scripture. Let me ask this, not even on my notes. When was the last time you memorized scripture? When was the last time you memorized another new scripture? Not the one that you just repeated something that you learned a long time ago, but when's the last time you memorized a new scripture and tried to memorize it? Try to quote it every day. I heard it say that if you quote it 10 times every day, by the end of 7 days, you will have that memorized. But be careful, it's not just up here. Meditate on it. Think about it. Understand what is God, what are you saying to me in this verse? And you, when you read it 10 times and you do this for 7 days, you'll have that scripture memorized. When was the last time you did that? And again, we're talking about the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God that sets us free, the Word of God that called nothing to have life and to have the sun, the moon, the stars, God's Word. And so this is why we're susceptible to depression or low self-esteem, because we receive words or feeling or from words from other people or our feelings or circumstances instead of standing on God's word. Now, that piece of paper that Caleb and Ezra gave to you, I want you to do something. If you have a pen, if you don't have a pen, there should be some pens in front of you, or ask someone next to you. But on that piece of paper, is there a word? It might be two or three words, that's fine. A word or a phrase that you are sick and tired of how that word affects how you live. For instance, you are fearful. I am sick and tired of always being scared. I'm tired of having to deal with that. How about this one? I'm sick and tired of words coming out of my mouth like foul language. I'm sick and tired of that. I mean, I'm not sure about you, but you know, none of us are perfect, but there are things that are just, man, they just become roadblocks. And roadblock one day and it comes back again the next day. What's a word or phrase that you are sick and tired of how it affects how you live, how you speak, and how you act? Pride. I'm sick and tired because I feel convicted every time. And it seems I can't change. I'm sick and tired of always having something negative to say. I've said this before. I don't like the fact, and God is helping me and leading me away from this, but I don't like being a pessimistic. I don't like being a pessimistic person. And so I'm trying to see things as they are, like Shannon does, half full. I always see it half empty. But the Lord is helping me to start seeing things and speak things. Now, everybody wrote something down? I'll give you two more seconds. One, two. You have something written down? A word or a phrase that you are sick and tired of how it affects your life. And God, scrape it out of my life, off my tongue, off my mind. All right, now this is what I want you to do. But before you do this, I want you to say a prayer similar to this, okay? In Jesus' name, God, with your help, I am rid of this. Or I'm done with this. Or in Jesus' name, God, with your help, this is no longer in my life. Now, some people would doubt and say, well, that's not going to happen. You're going to do that again. Well, why are you speaking those words? Why not speak what God's word says and say, thank you, Father, I will be delivered. I am delivered from this. Thank you, God, that you are going to take this out of me. So now that you have that word or word on those pieces of paper, again, the prayer is in Jesus' name, God, with your help, understanding it's God's help, not your help, not other people's help, not your pastor's help, but God, with your help, I am rid of this. Now, I want you with that piece of paper and just wad it up. A little small ball, just wad it up. Okay? What I want you to do, all right, as hard as you can, throw it up to the altar. Throw it at me. Ready? One, two, three. Pray that prayer. Speak it. Speak it. Now, for those of you sitting in the third or fourth row, if something hits you in the head, just turn around, grab it, and throw it for them. So if you find something, throw it. But listen, we're not going to do this again. The whole point, we're talking about words. So if you thought that prayer in your mind, can I tell you, it didn't say death and life is in the thought of the mind. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So even if you have to whisper it, if you didn't say that prayer, if you thought that prayer in your head, I want to encourage you because of what Proverbs 18:21 says. Don't think it, speak it out. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So in Jesus' name, Father, with your help, I am rid of that. In Jesus' name. With your help, God, we thank you, Father. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But God, is by your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, converting or reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The communications of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord, the instructions of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold. What's more desirable? God's instructions. God's word is more desirable than gold. Even the fine gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from a honeycomb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey him. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart. God, cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. Apply verse 14 to your daily prayer. May the words of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my defender. Having issues with pride? Let me ask you this. How far do you want God to keep his distance from you? Psalm 138, verse 6 says this. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble. We're talking about having humility and being humble. The Lord is great. He cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. You having issues with pride? Remember, this is a good verse to memorize. Lord, I do not want you to keep your distance from me. And my pride will keep me from being close to you. So, Lord, with humility, I draw near to you. Go slide 3, please, Joe. Our second point, and I'm going to wrap up here. Our words create a door or opportunity for the Spirit to move. Proverbs 15:1. Has this ever happened to you? A soft answer turns away wrath. This ought to, in my marriage especially, but in every marriage, a soft answer turns away wrath. But a harsh word stirs up anger. That is true. Man, that is so true. See, when we align our thoughts and our words with God's word, the Spirit of God begins to manifest life and peace in us and in the situation. Romans chapter 8, verses 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Listen, if I live according to the flesh, I'm going to speak what my flesh says, how my flesh feels, what other people are doing to me and how I feel and how I want to retaliate. I will begin to live those things. I'll begin to speak those things. And it says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, to be fleshly minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So therefore, if my words align with God's words and I'm being spiritually minded, then the spirit, not the flesh, will manifest life and peace in me and in my situation. Just like I mentioned at UF, February 28th to March 8th, we could have allowed by our words not being aligned with what God's word says, we could have missed out on life and peace. But I'm so thankful to God and His Holy Spirit revealing to us. Maybe it's also somewhat like the words of a weatherman. The words of a weatherman, for those of you that, you know, you like to get prepared the night before, you have your clothes set out, what you're going to wear because of what the weatherman says. It's all because of his words that causes you to get your clothes ready for the next day. What you're going to wear is based on what? Some person who knows how to read a map and knows how to, you know, who's a weatherman or woman. Or maybe you're one of the people who like to rush to Walmart with the rest of Camden because of a great storm, or you just pack all your belongings and you head west. And it's all because of what a weatherman said. Well, how about what God's word says? What preparations in your heart will you make? What preparations in your life will you make? How will you dictate what you say and how you live your life? By what God's word says. Lord, help us. Help us to see and look at your word for what they are. Holy scriptures to guide our lives, to lead our lives, and direct us into your truth. What if we commit wholeheartedly, not just to read the scriptures, but to believe in them, to stand on them, and to live by them? And if I'm not doing that now, Father, I pray that you forgive me, and I commit to doing them as of today. Yesterday I messed up. Last week I messed up. Your word was not number one to me. But God, today I commit that your word will be number one, more important to me than it was yesterday. That's where it starts. In the video we saw earlier, in the comments, I got off YouTube, but in the comments section it said, looking at scripture not as hard, infallible text, but as the result of God's breath. God breathed. God is still breathing. God spoke to us this morning. For those of you that are questioning, you do not know God's purpose for your life.
You're wondering and you're questioning, God, what do you want from me? God, what do you have for me? God, what am I supposed to be doing? Listen, good to ask those questions. It's even greater to hush, sit long enough to hear his response. Humble yourself and discover what he wants you to know, what he wants to develop in you. Receive God's word. Last point is our words become keys to walk in the supernatural events that God has prepared for us. Slide 4. Words are like keys. If you choose them right, they can open any heart and shut any mouth. Lord, my words, I want them to be your words. Because your words bring life, bring truth. Your words cut to people's hearts and reveals truth to them. I want my words to be God's words. Anyone ever been locked out of a house? I just spoke with someone today and that's what happened to them. And it's just in my notes, so, you know. But ever been locked out of a house? How about a car? Many years ago, we had this blue Buick Century, and if I can get this right, the driver's side door, it was broken, and the driver's side door on the outside to open it up was broken. So anyway, I had the car running, and we were in Chicago, and my brother said, hey, I got something in the trunk, and so the car is still running. We're stopped at a store, and so I open the car door, and I push the little button, and then I go, and I get his stuff. The car is still running. I think Shannon might have been me, but I'm not blaming Shannon. It might have been me. Hit the door lock because we just got to our destination. So I got my brother his stuff, closed the trunk door, and closed the door. We're in Chicago. That's the only key we have. So I understand what it feels like to be locked out of your car. But I'm the dummy who has the car still running. We can use our words to lock ourselves in a situation where God says, I didn't want you to be there. I didn't want you to have that hanging over your head. I don't want you to be wallowing that stuff. I want to set you free. I want to give you life. Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. So if you're wondering how we got into the car, some guy came, not a cop, and he had a Slim Jim. Those of you that know what Slim Jims are, well, he even broke my lock even more. So anyway, But words become keys to walk in the supernatural events that God has prepared. This afternoon, whether you believe it or not, God has some supernatural, spiritual things for you to walk in. But you know what? Your words are going to keep you locked out and away from those situations, from those events. And being locked out of a house all because of some dumb 2-inch piece of metal. Think about that. Well, that dumb two-inch piece of metal had the correct carvings to unlock that door. Our words, God can carve them and use them in certain ways that will touch and impact the lives of people. Our words become keys to turn tragic situations into moments of praise and worship. You know what we were doing at UNF, sitting right in front of Eden in section number 9? We were praying in the Spirit. We were praising the Lord. Because of our words, and I thank God. Our words become keys to comfort the lives of others as we focus on how God sees them. I really believe that our words, even though some people might think they really don't matter, I believe that speaking to a woman named Sarah or Mike at the checkout counter and just asking them how their day is and just listening to what the Spirit says for you, I believe that those words become keys to unlock a conversation you would have normally had. Because your mind was so focused on getting in and getting out. I believe our words have our keys that they unlock those opportunities. Our words become keys to open the eyes of those spiritually blind to reveal God's truth. And I know sometimes people don't want to hear what we have to say. But if we're listening to the Lord, we can say the right words. And all of a sudden, nobody comes in. I love when this happens. And it happens, doesn't happen all the time. But all of a sudden, nobody comes to the counter. Nobody comes in line. Nobody asks the question. And it's a conversation between me and this person. And it is divine and divine orchestrated. And I'm so thankful. So look for those. And all of this happens when our words align with what God has already said. And I'm not going to go here because of the sake of time, but Jonah chapter 3. God told him to go somewhere. He disobeyed. He refused. He went the other direction. But when he decided to obey, when he decided to walk into Nineveh, and he told them in Nineveh what God said, supernatural, miraculous thing occurred. I don't care what you can read the story, Jonah chapter 3. And when Jonah finally did what God told him to do, and he said what God told him to say, the whole nation, even the king, repented. They fasted. They put sackcloth and ashes on themselves, which is a term of humbling themselves. They humbled themselves before God, and God showed mercy on them. Supernatural act, because every single one of them should have died. Just a big ball of fire should have fell on them. But God had mercy on them. You see, our words do have power. Our words create a door or an opportunity for the Spirit to move in. Our words become keys that we are able to walk in the supernatural events that God has already prepared for us. See, because God still forgives. God is still merciful. And lastly, this last slide before we play this altar call song. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So as you crumbled up that piece of paper, and as you spoke that prayer, God heard you. And God is responding. Continue to speak that prayer as you threw that piece of paper. Continue to praise God. Thank you, God, that you're delivering me from that. Thank you, God, I am rid of that with your help. That is not going to come out of my mouth. That is not going to come. That is not going to be a reaction of mine. Not again, not anymore. Thank you, God. Allow that to come out of your mouth. Joe, you go ahead and play this time, play the altar call. At this time, I just want to encourage you. Today is the day of salvation. But for us, for those of us who are believers, today is an opportunity to make things right with God, to repent,